Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Just ahead, music to the ears for geologists. But first, when it comes to the universe, seems we ain't seen nothing yet. That's because astrophysicists estimate 95% of the cosmos can't be seen. It's invisible. They call the mysterious stuff dark matter. But now astronomers, using the Hubble telescope, have detected a shadowy ring inside a cluster of galaxies they believe might be the first glimpse of dark matter. Like pebbles in a pond, the ghostly ring is evidence that something big and powerful is affecting the galaxies, only we can't see it directly. Well, when things astronomical leave us in the dark, we call upon Neil deGrasse Tyson. Dr. Tyson is director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York City and author of the new book, Death by Black Hole and Other Cosmic Quandaries. So, Dr. Tyson, can you shed some light? Just what is dark matter?
We have no idea. Well, that's not true. We have some ideas, but none of them have any experimental foundation yet. Dark matter is a little bit misnamed. We should probably think of it as dark gravity, because there is a source of gravity out there whose point of origin remains a mystery. So it's really dark gravity.
So how do we know that it's out there?
Because we see massive systems of galaxies where if you add up all the matter in the galaxies, stars and gas clouds, even black holes, add it all up and account for the gravity it should have, it is a fraction of the total gravity exhibited in the entire cluster.
So how is dark matter, then, different from regular matter?
All we know is that it exhibits gravity. It behaves normally in that way. It curves the path of light as it goes by, which was predicted by Albert Einstein back in 1916. So it does what it ought to do, but we just don't know what causes it. Now, here's what's interesting. Since dark matter doesn't interact with ordinary matter, it means if you had a blob of dark matter in your lap, you'd see right through it. It would fall through your lap. There'd be no way to contain it because containing something implies it's interacting with the container. And so there's glue holding together the cosmos that is not made up of the matter we have come to know and love, electrons, protons, neutrons, or even the light that gets emanated between them. So it's really mysterious stuff.
I've heard that WIMPs might be dark matter.
Yeah, there'd be weakly interacting massive particles. Massive in this case would be sort of high mass compared with a particle, not compared with a galaxy. And so that's just it's an acronym to contain our ignorance of what it might be, suggesting that it's some kind of particle that doesn't interact with our particles, and that in that way it would be completely invisible to us.
So the weak may inherit the Earth, but it's the wimps who get the universe. You think wimps are weird? How about life on other planets? Well, 12 years ago, scientists discovered the first planet outside our solar system revolving around another star, and since then they've cataloged over 300 more. The latest of these so-called exoplanets was recently discovered, and Dr. Tyson says this one looks a lot like planet Earth.
Here's the challenge. The planet itself at those distances is so small, so dim, we don't see them directly. They're discovered by observing the effect of their gravity on the host star, which does show up in your telescopes. We see their effect on the host star. And so the catalog is filled with planets that are like the size of Jupiter and bigger. And we're not thinking that life as we know it would thrive on a Jupiter, maybe on a Jupiter moon, but not on a Jupiter. And so the holy grail out there has been, can we find a planet that resembles Earth? And just recently, one such planet was discovered.
What's it called?
There's a catalog of nearby stars that are kind of sun-like, and it's called the Gliese Catalog, G-L-I-E-S-E, Gliese Catalog. And this is one of the stars in that catalog, and so it's named for that catalog. So it's Gliese 581C is the name of the planet.
What are the odds that it has life on it?
Well, what I left out is, it's okay, it's great that you find planets, but what really matters is you want to know how far from the host star is it. If it's too close, if there were any water on the planet, it would evaporate. If it were too far from the host planet, it would freeze. And life as we know it requires liquid water. So there's this Goldilocks zone in the vicinity of every star out there. The sun has a Goldilocks zone. They all do. This Earth-like planet was discovered orbiting the Goldilocks zone of that host star. So if it's going to have life as we know it, it's a pretty good chance of it, given its location.
So how far away is this Earth-like exoplanet?
Well, you know, I can give it to you in miles, and it'll sound impossibly far, which it is, except it's one of the closest stars to us in the whole galaxy. So it's a reminder of how vast space is and the galaxy is and the rest of the cosmos is. It's about 20 light years away.
Well, that's right around the corner.
I know, yeah, but you put that in miles, it's like 120 trillion miles. So it would take you, let me see, 75 times 2, 4, 5, take you 300,000 years to get there, going on the fastest spaceship ever built.
Well, how would they detect if there were life on this planet? How would we know?
Excellent question. Well, if there's intelligent life with technology, you can imagine just beaming radio signals there, because radio waves will get there in 20 years at the speed of light. Radio waves is a form of light, and the speed, and if it's 20 light years away, it takes 20 years for the signal to get there. So you send it some signal saying, hi, how you doing? We're over here. Here's some stuff we learned about our place in the universe. And then they would receive it and then maybe send a reply. And so this would not be the source of witty repartee, right? Because a round-trip conversation takes 40 years. But that could work. But another way to discover life is an emergent field called the search for biomarkers. On Earth, we have oxygen in our atmosphere, and oxygen is a sign that there's life on Earth. If you took away life, the oxygen would all go away. So would the methane. There's certain molecules that are only kept there by the action of life. And so as you look to other planets, you're going to look for oxygen, you look for methane. So these are biomarkers. And another fascinating biomarker might be smog. You know, I don't know if that'd be a sign of intelligence or not, but it's certainly a sign of life.
Well, Dr. Tyson, it's been a real pleasure. Enjoyed it a lot.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Astrophysicist Neil Tyson regularly explores the cosmos for Living on Earth and hosts the PBS TV series Nova Science Now. So let's say there is life on Gliese 581c, and let's say they're tuning into Earth right now from 20 light years away. They'd just be receiving broadcasts from 1987. That's the year WrestleMania set a record for indoor attendance at a sporting event. Prozac made its debut in drugstores. The world's first conference on artificial life was held, and Michael Jackson was doing the moonwalk. It was an interesting year.
I shredded. I was never told not to shred. I shredded because I thought it was the right thing to do.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir! Yes, sir!
Put it up on the board. Another rapper shot down from the mouth that roared. 1, 2, 3, down for the count. The reason.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
29 seconds remaining. The last time the Lakers won the title, they won it in Boston Garden.
Sega challenges you with the ultimate video game, the Sega Master System.
It's time for Stupid Petricks, and we have folks from all over the country, and they bring their little dogs, cats, birds, barn owls, whatever, and they show us these odd little things that they've been taught to do.
When you are hot, you're hot, and tonight Ford is definitely hot. The giant motor company reporting almost $5 billion in profits for 1987.
And may the Schwartz be.
1987 is heard on exoplanet Gliese 581c today.